Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Welcome to the Social Network Show, and today we are very happy to introduce journalist Alex Young, who is a man of all trades, it seems, hard to categorize, so we'll work on that with him. However, we do know that he worked at Citigroup for about 5 years on a mission critical status with kind of being a buffer between legal and marketing. And that can be challenging, we know from our attorney friends. And he was providing phone alerts for department news desks and radio FCN. He is now a staff writer for smallbusinesstrends.com and a freelance writer from New York. Small Business Trends is, you might say, his day job. He focuses on event reporting and special assignments. So naturally, we will be talking to him about social network ins and outs for small businesses. And a great way to learn about Alex is to visit helpingbrands.postachio. That is .postach.io. And there you'll see all his different hats, you might say, that he wears. Alex, welcome to the Social Network Show.
Hi, Dr. Jane. I'm so glad to be here. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Alex, and thank you for being, well, actually, teaching me things on social networks. I mean, just following your example sometimes really helps me because you're so good at it. And thank you.
Alex, tell us a little bit to begin with about smallbiztrends.com.
Our tagline is small business success delivered daily. And what's very nice is that our reader comments often spark new story ideas for us because the comments come from such diverse sources. And sometimes what's said is pretty eye-opening. Or information that isn't well known. And so fast forward 11 years to today, and it's easy for us to get upwards of 50 to 60,000 visitors a day. We've got 17,000 email subscribers and a ton of social media and RSS followers. If we were to count non-unique visitors, our traffic measurements would actually be higher. But having a lot of useful content is part of our strategy and what readers have come to expect. But the pieces always, always need to be useful. That's something we won't compromise on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing that there is so much content there. And I, again, want to mention that it's smallbiz, B-I-Z, trends.com. What is their secret to having so much content?
That's a great question. We have 400 contributors who write guest articles. Mm-hmm. And we also have staff. I'm the go-to person whenever there's an event in New York that needs coverage. And the reason being is they're based in Western Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really make sense for them to travel to New York just for an event.
Right. So there are a lot of collecting of news other than just sending you, the reporter, out to events to cover them. So if people have news tips about small business, how do they get that mentioned on the air?
They can email our tip line, which is sbtips@gmail.com. And we appreciate any tip that is going to resonate with our readers.
Okay, and you're going to, that may end up online, and what was going to be mentioned on air is just what you said. sbtips@gmail.com. Okay.
Yeah.
So visitors to the site spend quite a bit of time per visit in comparison to other sites, don't they?
Yes, it's an average of 6 minutes per visit, which is nice. And one thing that I'd like to point out is on the right-hand side, we have a comment section that has scrolling comments, and you can see what people are buzzing about or hot under the collar about, and you can jump in.
Well, that is something that it sounds like kind of like a one-stop shop for small business owners. Business owners, small or big, don't have a great deal of leisure time, but something, what would you say that they're going to get from visiting SBT?
They can subscribe, and every story will come into their email inbox, and mm-hmm. whatever they want to read, they can just click, and it'll go right to the story, and whatever they don't want to read, they can just skip.
Well, that is a helpful way. We have a subscription offer on thesocialnetworkshow.com. On the blog page that I subscribe to, and I find it very helpful to keep up with what we're doing. I have a question on something that you have been informative on in the past, and that is the mastermind group. Can you tell us what a mastermind group is?
Oh, yeah. A mastermind group is a collection of people who come together informally. The phrase is from Napoleon Hill, who was one of the thought leaders, original thought leaders mm-hmm. of business success. We meet on Skype.
Okay, the group does, not Napoleon Hill. I think he's deceased, isn't he? His book, I think, was Think and Grow Rich?
I believe that was the name of one, correct?
Uh-huh. And so along with Dale Carnegie, he's kind of, you know, one of those early thought leaders, you might say, for people wanting to progress and grow in business and success in general in life.
Yes, in that category.
So, Alex, one of the things I want to ask you about is, so when you, say, put something out on Twitter, for example, about what you're thinking about or writing about, what is most important to you, if you don't mind? In other words, I have these choices. Is it most important to you that I retweet what you're saying or respond personally in the reply sense, make a comment or favorite? I mean, again, I've learned a lot from you about just using those networks and thought maybe you might be able to shed a little bit of light on those things.
I think that it's really a compliment when someone retweets me, but if it doesn't make sense for their Twitter news feed and their audience, then, you know, you don't have to. I mean, it's nice. A favorite is better because it won't feed into that. So you can give me a star, and it's a nice thing to do. But if you actually go onto the link and say read what's on my mind, then that's like the ultimate compliment.
And then maybe reply with my response in that sense. But can you just talk a little bit more about what is a favorite? It's interesting because a favorite, where does that go? I mean, it doesn't go into the stream. Can you talk? I don't know if you know technically, but can you talk about the difference a little more?
Well, some people use it as a bookmark for themselves. I know I do. But it shows the person who created the tweet that you saw what they tweeted out, and it's just like an acknowledgement.
That makes a lot of sense, because I did see one tweet that expressed chagrin over people favoriting but not retweeting. But your explanation of it makes sense. You know, you appreciate it, so you favorite it. But if it doesn't contribute to your listeners and followers, no big deal. If you don't retweet it, it's just a fact or an acknowledgement that it's not on topic for you.
Yeah, I think what it is that I try not to be demanding. Like, it's not my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'd noticed, I think Dr. J was talking about that one of your levels of expertise is Google+, and I love the layout, and I took the time to get there and everything, but I'm pretty disappointed with like how little activity. I mean, if I put something out on Twitter, generally someone shares it or favorites it, but Google+, man, I'm just noticing that there's not a lot of resharing there. Is that your experience too, or is it just
yeah? That is, and you're not alone. And even people with large followings elsewhere have the same experience. They'll put something out, and it won't even get a plus one.
Mm-hmm.
And the person's left wondering, well, why am I doing this? But, I mean, that doesn't really indicate anything. It doesn't prove anything, because people can still click, and you just won't know about it.
Okay, that's a good point. They might be reading it, but they might not be reacting. That's a good point.
Do you have any ideas as to, well, you've expressed that it may not be a problem. Maybe it's just a question of culture. Do you think they simply have a different culture online, you might say, the reading and the interaction isn't as great?
It could be, and it might be the layout as well. Jim, I know you said that you like it. A lot of people don't agree with you. To me, I think the layout is fine. There's room for improvement, but to answer the question, I think that a lot of it has to do with layout. Like, the reader might click and then not know how to go back to find where they even clicked from. And Google's not, they're like a jack of all trades, and they're not really great at any one thing, in my opinion.
Interesting. Well, we're going to talk more with you in the next segment. I'm Jane Karwoski, and you're listening to The Social Network Show as we speak with Alex Young, who is a reporter for smallbiztrends.com, as well as many other hats he wears, which we'll go into in the next segment.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Kelly Keller, an intellectual property attorney specializing in internet law and social media issues. Join me on The Kelly Keller Show right here on the Social Network Station. Together with my guests, we will tackle tough legal problems presented by the ever-increasing use of social media in everyday business. Through dynamic conversations, we will discuss your rights and responsibilities in the new media world, so the hard work you have put into developing your brand, business, and products does not go to waste. How does the law's response to the social media explosion affect you? Join me on The Kelly Keller Show to learn more.
Now, back to The Social Network Show.
Welcome back to The Social Network Show with Jim Nico and myself, Dr. J, and this time, Alex Young from New York City. Alex, I know that public relations is one of your avid interests. So what's happening in that field?
Yes, I'm a watcher. I consider myself someone who watches that space, not so much in the small business sense, but more on the global agency side, where there's a lot of change happening, a lot of disruption and blurring of lines, where PR is now sort of responsible for some things that were previously in the realm of marketing and sometimes even advertising. And there's a lot of convergence. And I'm interested because I believe there's a market that might be pretty big in 2015, which I promised somebody I would talk about on her show, the Social Web Cafe show. And I usually don't make predictions, but I feel this in my bones, and that's why I'm a watcher of what's happening in PR.
Now, what used to be the more distinct difference between PR, marketing, advertising? Can you just sum that up briefly? What used to be the case?
Yeah, there is a dynamic called the paid on earned dynamic, which you see sometimes written online as POE. And paid media, which is the P, is advertising, where brand controls the message because they're paying for it, and therefore the rationalization is they deserve to control the message because they're paying for it.
Okay.
And that's stuff you see on TV, Geico ads and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And then owned media, which is the O in POE, is the, how shall we say, websites that a brand owns and the microsites within, any digital property that's owned media.
Okay.
They control the message again. And it's not outbound, it's inbound. So people would have to go to it from some other means, possibly an ad or some other paid media. And then the E in POE is earned media, which is the golden goose and what they all pray for. Like the saying is, paid is what you pay for and earned is what you pray for, because it's third party endorsements, what people are saying on their own accord and not getting paid to say. Yeah.
Would that be more within the public relations realm?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so. Very much so.
So I have a question here. So I've noticed in certain circles, and we have some experience in the realm of press releases, for example. And I was kind of astonished at a couple of things that were said to me over our experience with press releases. One was that, well, they don't do much good except that you get some good SEO and the links. You get a lot of good links. Okay, so that was one thing. And then we had our experiences. And then another faction or group is saying press releases are dead and dead and gone. You know, they're a waste of time. So, and you know that argument, but could you address that? I know you're the watcher out there, and I mean, I'd really like to know from someone like you.
Press releases, they don't really do much for me. The way they're sent to me doesn't help. A lot of them don't have any news hooks or anything that is something I'd even be interested in. A lot of the topics aren't related to what I do. I've gotten pitches for medical marijuana and bridal bridesmaids issues, and I'm like,
so it's not targeted.
Some sort of automation was used, and like it feels very impersonal.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so yeah. So in that sense, Alex, then the intent of the press release, at least in the old-fashioned sense, what I'm familiar with, is something important is happening with my company. I'm going to reach news media. I'm going to reach all these thinkers and these important reporters and journalists. I mean, that's what a layman, that's what I thought it was. But if that's not happening, or I'm reaching people that aren't even interested in what I'm doing, is there an alternative to a press release? In other words, can you give any info on how to gain publicity in the same way that a press release was trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I think it's important to at least be familiar with some of the newer trends that are happening. And I would recommend the book by Christina Daves called PR for Anyone. And what's nice is that it's a new book, just came out several weeks ago, and it's for small businesses and entrepreneurs to do DIY public relations.
I know that you told me earlier that you've just devoured that book and think it's wonderful. It made me think of one of our colleagues, Deirdre Breckenridge. She has written a PR and social media, how the PR professional can integrate social media with it. But PR, what was Christine's book called again?
PR for Anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I'm going to get it.
Well, and on the subject of press release, especially for small businesses and local businesses, that their audience, their target market is local. Certainly, I would think that it's still appropriate to write to your local reporters in the newspapers and so forth, or radio, and let them know. There might be more interest, certainly, than just sort of like a boilerplate, send it to everybody on Earth type of thing, which would cost more, quite a bit more money. Your own press release that you send to, especially if you can make relationships with the reporters, wouldn't cost anything, which is a pretty good. If you get any return, your ROI is good.
Well, you're right. You really should send to appropriate parties, but to use an automated service. And this whole conversation reminds me of Facebook, where people are slamming or criticizing the paid model of boosted posts and saying that it's not getting them return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really the structure that's at fault, but it's actually the content itself and the fact that they're not using the targeted features within Facebook. And so it's misdirected anger, when the anger should be what they're not doing right,
mm-hmm.
and their content sometimes is just not good.
So we have our share of issues with Facebook when it comes to privacy, safety, respect for women and girls. But the role it does seem most likely to hold on to is as an online yellow pages, you might say. That's where I go to find the phone number of even a local business. So it could be serving small businesses better if they were reading the small print about how to use these more like advertising or promoted posts? Is that what you're referring to?
Well, they could. Few people do. I think it's best to get into a mastermind or just network with people through chambers of commerce and things like that to find out what is working with others. And then you can skip all of the hard work, which is, in my opinion, knowing where to click. Half the battle is knowing where to click on your screen.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, we want to make it as easy as possible for the clicker. I appreciate you bringing that up. And do you think that the increase in the mastermind type of group, let's go back to that and tell, you know, if you are in a particular industry, how do you find out whether there is a mastermind group like that? What would you just Google something? Or
that's a great question.
Is there a congregation of water coolers out there that we can pick and choose from?
That's a very interesting question. And for me, I think I didn't Google it. What happened was Gail Gardner,
who was on
a podcast. Oh, yeah, she was a guest on your show.
Yeah.
She had a podcast where she mentioned it. And so as far as trying to Google a mastermind, I'm not sure if that's even possible. I think perhaps, I'm just speculating, you can go to LinkedIn, and when you connect with others and you have a really strong connection, then maybe you can ask if they are in a mastermind and if you can join in.
And that's to share expertise and tips and lessons learned among professionals that are maybe a little farther along in the process than you are. And that, of course, is the whole advantage of social networks in general. Well, this has been real helpful. Thank you so much, Alex. We've been talking with Alex Young of the City Beat, you might say, for smallbiztrends.com in New York City. And we appreciate your taking the time to visit with us, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me. I love sharing what's on my mind. There's so much.
Great. We'll keep you in mind. And your Twitter handle is what?
It's GGSolutions123.
Solutions. GG Solutions 123.
Yeah.
Okay. And thank you, our listeners, for being here with us. Please mention your social networks online and off that you enjoy the Social Network Show. If you're listening via iTunes or Stitcher.com, please check out our webpage also, the socialnetworkshow.com. And if you like receiving email updates, you can subscribe from the blog page. So until we welcome you here again, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.